The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NXT Deadline 2022 Ring of Honor Final Battle. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. Tonight, joined by my podcasting better half, NYC Demon Diva Issa, together again, and Chuck Carroll, our first time doing a podcast together in quite some time. Good to see you, Chuck.
Tagging in, man. Glad to be here, bro.
Now, were you always a Chuck growing up, or was that a later development in life?
What a random-ass question. I was Charles growing up, Charlie in elementary school. I've had the whole iteration of anything that starts with a CH. I've probably gone by at this point in my life.
Wouldn't it have been epic, though, had you been Chuck as a kid every time they played the name game and did the song on a field trip?
I mean, so I did Chuck starting in middle school, and that took off. And so I got all of high school with that, you know, Mother Chucker, Chuck Steak, F Chuck. Yeah. Go Chuck yourself.
Banana fan of foe. It was epic, man. Yeah. I feel you. Anyhow, so you two watch Ring of Honor. I watched NXT.
We're off to a great start.
I think in my head, I sing the name song occasionally. It just gets stuck in my head. I'm like, I haven't been on a field trip in a good 40 years, but still in my head. So let's start with the big news. Ring of Honor has a TV deal.
In a sense, they're going to wind up putting it on the relaunched Honor Club, which is actually, they've already soft relaunched it. Interesting that Tony Khan talked about that in the post-show media scrum. So they don't have a premiere date for it yet, but they do expect that that's going to be announced sometime in January. He kept saying, let me just get through the dates in Seattle and LA. And so that would put the announcement sometime the second or third week in January. And we'll see what happens after that. But it didn't look like, if reading the tea leaves there, and I'm not trying to start any drama, but just reading the tea leaves, it didn't sound like Warner Brothers Discovery was interested in adding the Ring of Honor brand at this time. But he did say that it was really important to continue to build that relationship of AEW with Warner Brothers. So to me, the way I interpret this is we're going to prove to you that Ring of Honor is worth something. Maybe it stays on Honor Club moving forward. Maybe it doesn't. But the other interesting note coming out of here is that there will be a heavy New Japan presence with this Honor Club. So we'll see what happens there, if that makes a difference, if they ever get a traditional TV deal. But right now it's going to be Honor Club. So your $10 a month will get you the archives with pay-per-views on a 90-day delay, plus the TV show whenever that launches.
Wow.
Compared to Peacock, seems pricey for just Ring of Honor.
It does. It absolutely does.
A lot of people are getting Peacock for free right now. Others, you can start at $4.99. So, you know, just
I don't know
that you're going to sell everybody on that.
Will you guys pay $9.99 a month for this?
I mean, with AEW, maybe part of the reason why their audience is so hardcore is that if you're watching the pay-per-views and you're in the habit of putting out that money and investing, I mean, that speaks to their very niche, very dedicated fandom. I think WWE with Peacock going beyond the network has really set themselves up for a much more conducive environment to casual fans that don't need to invest anything but their time. So I think Ring of Honor is probably going to have the most diehard rabid fan base in all professional wrestling as a result of this, but I think they'll be lucky if it cracks the low six figures.
But here's the interesting thing, right? Right now, Ring of Honor has really been relying on promotion through AEW. Mm-hmm. Tony Khan has stated time and again that moving forward, after tonight, there's going to be a much less of a presence for Ring of Honor on AEW television.
Good.
And if that's what had been moving the needle right now for ROH, what does that say for the future? Like, are they going to be able to carry all of these fans? He said again tonight, this was the biggest final battle in the history of Ring of Honor, both in terms of gate and buys. But is that sustainable if they don't have that presence on Wednesday and Friday nights on cable?
Yeah. I mean, Ring of Honor was its own thing, but piggybacking it this way, it's like, oh, here's a dated reference. He's kind of turning it into the Tom Arnold of professional wrestling and just is along for the ride with everything AEW does.
That's epic. That's epic. How many people get that reference? Along for the ride.
Tune into the Jackie Thomas show airing after Roseanne. After Roseanne.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's a shame for Ring of Honor, though, that he can't get it. Like, nobody wants to pick this up. No streaming service, no cable channel, nothing.
I don't know, Issa, what do you think? I mean,
why
this
would
just...
you pick it up? Did you not watch tonight? It was a one-match show. It was.
Professional wrestling.
It was the end of a trilogy. It wasn't even the first of anything. There's no storylines built into this. The first four matches, they just announced them randomly. I didn't even know they were on the show. When we had the media call on Wednesday, there was only five matches announced. Next thing I know, I tuned into a freaking marathon today. And none of these matches have stories. It's killing their ratings. They were holding at 1 million for a while. Now they're just lucky to hit 800 and something thousand. If I'm TNT and TBS, I said, I didn't pay for this. And I request for AEW to be the show that you give me.
I mean, baby, I sang it, might as well make Rampage the Ring of Honor show. I mean, I think they could fold it into a roster.
Oh, so they can do so much better? Like, well, you think how many people watch Rampage? Come on.
But do you think if Rampage... Okay, hear me out on this. If Rampage had a dedicated creative team that was running more standalone storylines and it wasn't just this overflow of Dynamite, I think Rampage would be a better show.
Yeah. I think Rampage does nothing for me, in all honesty. Even when they put, you know, like John Moxley or somebody on the card, it's still kind of an afterthought. And yeah. I think that just got ingrained in the audience for so many months that it's going to take a lot of heavy lifting to get that thing built up. And I think that you're right. I mean, you kind of have to run it, and I hate to draw it to a WWE comparison, but make it a SmackDown and Raw situation.
Yeah. Do something. Mealy 499 super chat. Oh my God. One of the best takeovers this year. That Isle Dawn and Abel match had no right.
Alba, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Had no right being that good. Kiana James, Spanish Fly is fire. And Tiffany Stratton back January 10th.
Yes. It was a lot of fun. NXT was a fun show.
It's good.
Although it had no business being that good. Legit. The whole show.
The crowd was fired up tonight, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I get cynical. Like the Iron Survivor match, the crowd was really into it. I mean, we'll talk about this. I thought the Iron Survivor match concept was kind of silly and a mess, very arbitrary. And then I kept wondering, I'm sure as you might both have had the thought as well, what if there'd been a tie on number of points?
I don't know.
You're going to sudden death. I was expecting that on commentary. I didn't think it was going to end in a tie.
I don't know, man. I was hoping for penalty kicks with it being World Cup season.
And they did do the spot that I think was going to happen when they had two people in the penalty box fighting. That I really
liked. I love that. Yeah, I thought that was fun.
So I guess let's talk about Deadline first. Opened with the women's Iron Survivor match tonight, the Iron Survivor Challenge. Roxanne Perez and Zoe Stark kicked off the match. And we had them, Cora Jade, Indy Hartwell, and Kiana James. Yeah. Issa, what'd you think of this?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a lot easier to keep up with than what I anticipated being. You know, I know you said you didn't like the concept, but I actually really, really did. I enjoyed the match. And when you watch it before the men's match, you're thinking, okay, this was great, but the men did make the women look slightly boring because they were just going crazy. I appreciated the little falls in the women's match compared to the madness that went on in the men's match because I didn't feel like I watched two of the same match. But I thought this was a lot of fun. Roxanne with the win, a little obvious being the only baby face there, you know, the underdog story. I enjoyed it.
Now, Chuck, you did not watch this tonight. Have you watched NXT as of late?
I've seen bits and pieces here and there. I did see part of this match. I was watching the media scrum when this match was going on because I wanted to hear what Tony Khan was going to have to say.
Yeah.
I can just say from an aesthetic standpoint, I thought that this was kind of cool how they had all the scores across the bottom. It was a gamified experience just kind of watching that. Like, it almost felt like a damn video game the way that they were keeping track of scores. So just like having half an eye on it, I was like, damn, this is an interesting concept. And I think before all the games kick off tomorrow, I'm going to sit down and watch that thing with the sound on and see what it's all about.
And that's a good comparison. That is what it felt like to me. It did feel a little bit like a video game match, which I think has its pros and its cons, but no, it's different. And I like that they're innovating. I like that they're trying. Definitely like all the talent that was in this match. Although hard for me to take one of these premium live events seriously in NXT when Nikita Lyons and Tony D'Angelo are not on the card.
Oh man,
I mean, let's be real. But no, this was a really good match. Roxanne Perez is gonna win. So I want you both to chime in this. Do you think she's going to challenge and defeat Mandy Rose for the NXT Women's Championship?
I mean, she's gonna challenge for sure, but she's not gonna defeat her. I don't see it happen.
Who is the natural successor to Mandy Rose right now? I mean, Mandy's got herself a hell of a reign happening here. When does this thing end? Does she carry it all the way into Mania season at this point?
Yeah, I think Nikita picks it up in Mania.
Got to build her up a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's really weird. I'd be curious to know the story years from now when we hear about what was going on backstage, because it seems like she has had so many false starts with her getting momentum, and it seems like a fast track when it does happen. So I don't know. I'm hopeful by Mania. I think she's the one. But we went from this match, and it was nice to see two women's matches back to back.
Yeah, I thought that was odd as well.
And I liked that this is a meaningful women's feud without a title involved, which is something that AEW certainly is challenged by quite often, and so is SmackDown and Raw. But I like that we had Alba Fire versus Isla Dawn in a banger of a match.
So good. I love this match.
It's good. And Isla Dawn's a witch. Cursed the ref.
I mean, that's what they've been telling us every week with her video packages.
Yeah. This was a really good match. A lot of good spots in this. But yeah, when Alba had the pin, the ref was choking and had like dying of consumption there in the ring.
Yeah. I thought this was a little bit weird, but you had to do something for Alba Fire here, because I do think she kind of, her character got hurt from the losses that she took to Mandy Rose. So it was good that they kept her protected in a way with the whole referee spot. But the chemistry that they had, like, this match was just absolutely incredible. And I was not expecting it to be that much of a banger. I was really glad. The presentation of Isla Dawn is so good. I'm so in with her character, with her presentation. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but you got to do something with Alba Fire now. That's a lot of L's that she's eaten in a row.
I know. It's tough. I mean, do you think she goes to the main roster?
What, to lose more?
This is a challenge they're having with a lot of talents right now. I mean, NXT is a weird hierarchy in the sense of you can get over, but there is this ceiling if you're not going for a championship. Like, they can give you meaningful storylines, but you're kind of going hand to mouth in the sense that, like, she has this storyline, but is she going to... I mean, I'm sure her and Isla Dawn are not finished. I'm sure there will be another match in the series. But from there, it's going to be very hard to do something meaningful and keep all those plates spinning concurrently, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that criticism, especially, I mean, we see it every week. But this is another premium live event that we see a match without a title being involved. You know what I mean? Two women going at it. We saw a really good feud between Roxanne and Cora Jade. So I do think that they put a little bit of an extra effort into giving us other feuds in addition to the title feuds.
Yeah. Justine Asing, shout out to Isu, who's been busy today with two live streams and now doing Wrestling Inc.
Yeah, long day. It's been a marathon.
People don't realize that just watch this podcast. They don't realize that you do all this other stuff as well.
Yeah.
In addition, you basically like live 24/7 covering professional wrestling and Bad Bunny.
Yeah. And soon our podcast will come back.
Yes, and two Yellow Jackets buzz.
I saw the preview and I was like so excited. And at the same time, I'm like, yeah, another job, just what I need right now.
Yeah. Hey, we got till March. We got till March till Yellow Jackets comes back. But
I'm excited. We need to do something. We'll talk about Absolutely. It later. But we we'll need to do something out. Before, we'll like a nice rewatch and get together and refresh everybody's memories.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, oh man, boy, was I wrong. I thought Pretty Deadly and The New Day were having a simple,
so disrespectful.
Simple exhibition match. You know, Ivan Drago and Apollo Creed had an exhibition match, and look how that ended. And tonight, The New Day took on Pretty Deadly and similar.
In a banger of a match.
Yes, banger of a match. But The New Day are now the NXT Tag Team Champions.
Of course I they think, are.
Silver lining, I think Pretty Deadly is going to the main roster.
I don't understand why you didn't think that New Day was going to win.
It's Pretty Deadly like, what, are amazing.
Why would you? Yeah, they are. Of course they are. But why would you bring New Day down? There's nothing for them on the main roster. Okay. The Usos are clearly going to hold on to these titles for a little bit longer. It makes perfect sense to have them have a nice little stint in okay. NXT. There's teams there they haven't faced. I personally, I don't, and you know I'm the biggest Pretty Deadly fan. I knew the New Day was winning as soon as they showed up.
You knew? You knew.
Yeah, we told you. Me and Alfred both told you.
You know, like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch told us, sometimes you got to believe. And I believe the Pretty Deadly was going to defeat the New Day tonight.
Bro, you are dropping all kinds of references tonight, man. Jeez, man, I love it, man. I got to come back and do this just for nostalgia. I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah.
What I like about the New Day capturing the titles is they just felt like they were growing a little bit stale on the main roster. Mm-hmm. So for me, this gives them an opportunity to hit that reset button a little bit and, you know, see if they can build themselves back up or capture some new interest or tweak things a little bit, man. But they definitely need to be freshened up. I mean, I can't be the only person that felt like they were getting a little bit stale.
Yeah.
Even the match tonight, they felt the best that they felt in months. Again, this match was so much fun. The spot with the titles, oh my God, that warmed my heart when they're throwing the titles back and forth between all four of them. That was epic. I don't know how long this might have been planned, but for us, it was announced just this week. So to me, it felt like they've been wrestling each other their whole life. The chemistry that they showed in the ring,
phenomenal. And
how fun the match was, how well they worked as a tag team. But as good as the New Day is, even tonight, the match itself, it felt like a whole different thing than what we've been seeing from them in the main roster. I really think this is going to do a lot of really good stuff for them. I'm excited. And the New Day has talked about being the greatest tag team in WWE history. So why not add another notch to your belt with the NXT champions, another triple crown? Like, what else is there to do, you know?
I'm sure they're going to go on that. They're going to get to go against the Creed brothers. I'm sure that will happen soon. Maybe in this year. I think there's options and opportunities, but please do not let them put Pretty Deadly on SmackDown and get in this cluster F with Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma and the Viking Raiders.
Yeah, man. If I'm them, I don't want to go to the main roster right now because unless you're the Usos, you're not a tag team up there. I mean, you're just another act. And
well, but Rock,
you're
probably
just
going to
get
them,
lost,
though.
Man.
Yeah, Raw's but so they're ready to drop the titles from the Usos. I'm not sure that they're able to build a secondary feud that will be interesting enough. Everybody's just dropping to the Usos right now. So calling them up for that, I don't know. I think they're going to stick around the NXT. I don't think they're done. I think this might be a series between these two teams.
Maybe.
I think we see them at least one more time, maybe two more times. I don't know. Depends on who wins the next one, but I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing them in the main roster. It's just tough if you're attacking right now because of what they're doing with the Bloodline. And you can't blame them. The Bloodline is the best storyline in wrestling right now. So keep the titles on them for a little bit until they figure out who the right people are. You have historic reigns from everybody, Roman and the Usos. They can't just end just because we need to do something else. It has to be a moment when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had the Men's Iron Survivor Series match tonight. Axiom, McDonough, Hayes, Gacy, Waller. So many guys got over during this match tonight.
All of them.
Axiom, I think Axiom tonight like solidified himself as one of the best in NXT. Joe Gacy's still not over though somehow. Everyone got over except Joe Gacy.
I actually really enjoyed Joe Gacy's work tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I did. I thought he looked great. I did like Axiom as well. JD didn't score any pinfalls. But it didn't feel like it didn't feel like it hurt him. Like at one point, he was just more worried about kicking Axiom's ass than the match itself. So it didn't, you know, he spent like 5 minutes fighting him in the penalty box after his 90 seconds were up. So I didn't feel like JD got hurt from not getting any pinfalls here. I love how fast paced this was. Everybody looked good in this match. Even Gacy Glenn, whether you want to admit it or not.
It was,
you
know, fine.
We already discussed. You were wrong about New Day. You're wrong.
Has Joe Gacy ever been over?
Joe Gacy needs to do better now. He's got The Rock's daughter there. He can't mess up, you know?
That is the number one thing helping. That's the number one thing helping their fat schism.
But remember how I told you who was growing on me? I've been telling you every week, wow, Grayson Waller's really growing on me. And who wins? Grayson Waller.
Now, if Grayson doesn't defeat Braun Breaker right for that championship, see, Grayson is going to be like a fifth-year senior if he doesn't win this championship.
He's going to win the championship.
Yeah, he's got to win this championship.
He's going to.
This was a really good match, though, but Axiom had so many good spots in this match.
Yeah, but he lost.
Yeah, I know. But still.
Did he eat most of the pins? Who took the most pins? I feel like he was in the penalty box more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I love his spot from top of the penalty box. I thought that was a clever spot. I love who was it that just came in desperate? I think it was Joe Gacy. Somebody came in desperate to start scoring falls right away. Yeah. I love how they waited until the very last second. I really wanted to see that. And they waited until the last second to give Grayson Waller. And then he just like ran for 10 seconds. And I'm sitting there thinking, why are they chasing him? You can pin anybody else just to tie it. That way you keep it going. Like they just started chasing Grayson Waller, which I didn't think that made sense. But I'm not going to overthink here because I thought the match delivered. It was my favorite match on this particular card. Not my favorite match of the night, but on this
intrigue,
card, this was my favorite match.
There you go. I think Grayson's got to win
he's
championship.
Gonna.
Now,
I'm saying gotta say he's going to.
Okay. Well, Drew Gulak was backstage. Drew Gulak's in NXT now.
Yeah.
Had a little segment with Damon Kemp.
Another guy that could use a little refresh.
Drew Gulak just needs to bring back the PowerPoint presentation. That was the most over thing in all of professional wrestling.
Nobody uses PowerPoint anymore, Glenn.
Well, it's all Apple all the Fives. Damn time. What are you talking about?
Apple
at
Pages.
Least four times a week.
Google Slides, you know?
Yeah, we do Google Slides. We don't do presentations anymore.
The problem
we do
with Google Zoom Slides. With Google Slides, can you use your own fonts? You can't use your own fonts in Google Slides. You're like limited to those like four templates they have, and one of them is decent. The rest suck.
No, personally, the last time I did a weird presentation, I kind of did half of it on Canva and then put it together.
Oh, in Canva? Yeah, Canva, yeah. Like, but see, Canva's not an intuitive interface, though. I don't like, I don't know.
I'm a relic, dude. I'm still using PowerPoint.
Yeah,
you're not going to get me off of that. It's just got way more options on there.
Bring back PageMaker, you know? Let me do something old school.
That's the third one. That's the third nostalgia reference
Adobe
right
PageMaker.
There.
So I do this podcast with Jeff Gerstmann on his Patreon called Game Boys to Men, and it's about our years as teenagers working in the video game industry. And like we had extensive discussion on the latest episode about being at a Kinko's using PageMaker, like doing the 11x17 copies and folding them. Like you couldn't get more old school than that, man. You know, and you had to go to Kinko's to use their Macs because if sometimes you have too many fonts, you need more RAM, you need a more powerful computer. Mm-hmm. Kinko's had that.
You're
had it going on.
You're so speaking my language, man. You're just taking me way back, dude. This is like 25-year time machine happening right now.
Yeah, well, hey, next year, we've been saying this in a month, it'll have been 30 years since 1993. Just let that like
yourself, man. That's just rude to say.
I know, it's crazy. And remember, in 2023 it will be the same distance from the year 2000 as 1977. We're just on the other side. So let's talk about the main event on a kinder note. Braun Breaker versus Apollo Crews for the NXT championship match. These two went fishing, they hung out in diners, the bromance was real, but when push came to shove, Apollo couldn't get it done, and Braun Breaker retained his NXT championship. What did you think of this match, Issa?
Sexual tension-wise, this was a 13 out of 10. You could feel it. It's still there. They still love each other. But at one point, you saw Apollo snap out of it. Like he was like, I cannot allow my love for this man to get the best of me here. However, I did feel like the finish was flat. There wasn't that boom, boom, boom sequence into the finish. It was just kind of like a spear out of nowhere and Braun won. Like, it felt very odd to me. You know, you wait for the climax. And, well, I shouldn't say climax here because we know. But you wait for it to, like, build up and build up. It kind of felt a little bit flat for me. Also, I would have main evented with the Iron Survivor match for the men. I thought they put him in a really tough spot following such a crazy, fast-paced match, especially with them doing tests of strength for, like, 20 minutes. I don't need to see that. So, I mean, I kind of figured that Braun was going to retain here. I was more excited about the aftermath, obviously, with Grayson Waller coming out, attacking him, holding up that belt. It was a beautiful sight. I could get behind that.
Yeah. I mean, this, for a pay-per-view that, you know, didn't seem like it was going to be that major, this was very entertaining. New Day being the NXT Tag Team Champions is huge. And I'm excited to see what happens not only with NXT next year, but with NXT Europe, that relaunch that they're doing. That'll be very curious.
Me too. I'm excited about it, but I did think that this premium live event didn't have any business being as good as it was. And if the slowest match, or the, you know, not so exciting match, was the main event between Braun and Apollo, it's not a bad night for NXT, because it wasn't a bad match. It was just put in a very tough spot following the match that it followed. They should have opened and closed with the Iron Survivor matches.
This was a perfect number of matches. Give us more 5-match pay-per-views.
But again, and when we talk about Ring of Honor, I also did feel that the main event was hurt following a banger of a match. After the tag team match in Ring of Honor, also everything else died because you were so emotionally invested into that match, that everything felt slow.
Let's talk about that. Are we at a point in time in wrestling now where we don't necessarily have to put the championship match on last? Like, because I agree with everything you just said, Issa. The final two matches should have been inverted on both shows, it sounds like. Definitely, having watched the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, 1,000%.
Oh yeah. I think Ring of Honor could have benefited from pacing a lot differently. I feel like they put, except for the women, I feel like they put a lot of matches that didn't have story building to them, like, in a row. So you're tired. And then they put they put good match, and then you get exhausted from that match. So I do think that it should have paced a little bit differently. I don't know, because of the confetti and Claudio winning, I think that's probably why they decided to put that last. I don't know that. With this being the big thing with Deadline, advertising these two new concept matches, I could have excused the world title not being in the main event. But yes, I think that you should start looking into storylines, into what's at stake, who's in the match, how fast is it going to be, is it going to kill the crowd when you're pacing the show and deciding what's going to main event.
It just felt like tradition of why that went last night, but I agree, it could have been better laid out. Malik Black, Buck 99, saying they were all beating JD like he owed them all money.
Yeah, they were.
Poor JD.
No wonder why he didn't get a fall. He was going through it tonight.
I mean, NXT, I say this all the time, NXT is I think the tightest show, the most fun show in all of professional wrestling to watch on a weekly basis.
It was. And I think overall, when we compare both shows tonight, I think NXT had the best show overall. I think Ring of Honor had the best match of the both shows. Like, if you got to pick a match of the night, I will give it to Ring of Honor. Okay. FTR and the Briscoes killed it. But overall, the entire show, I enjoyed NXT more. The Ring of Honor had me falling asleep a couple of times.
It'll be interesting to see what Ring of Honor does with a weekly streaming show if they start doing that. Well, because, I mean, the stakes are so low that it's like it's a chance to get weird with it. Maybe it'll be really good.
I mean, yes or no, but I mean, I kind of think about what NWA tried to do with their weekly pay-per-views. You know, they had that subscription service, and what was it, like $4.99 a month for that, I think, and people still weren't really buying it, even though it was a good show, more or less, but you're asking a lot. And I think Issa, at the top of the show, when you were talking about $9.99 a month just for one service, unlike Peacock, where you get everything, TV shows, movies, sports, everything in addition to WWE, $9.99 for one thing is just too much.
Well, I suspect, unless you're on OnlyFans, in which case, you know, just multiply that by.
Well, I mean, I got you. I got you, but you're gonna have to watch. I bet you they're gonna wrap New Japan World into this. I bet you, because New Japan World in the U.S. needs a big time overhaul. And so then, you know, here you go. Let me pull the chat right now. Would you pay $9.99 a month for both Ring of Honor and New Japan World? Does that then become worth it financially per month?
Same audience though. I bet you 50% of that audience would pay for them separately.
Do you think? I mean, how? I don't know.
But it is, we are getting dangerously close to like Ring of Honor just running a Patreon at this point.
Yeah. I think that Tony put a good spin on it. I think that he really tried hard to get a TV deal. It just doesn't make sense to go with the streaming service after paying all that money for a brand. And it's just, it's not going to be able to stay afloat without that support on traditional TV. It's just not. So
I think right now, economically, we're heading into a time where, yeah, people are going to be watching those monthly subscription charges and trying to make cuts where they can.
There's too many streaming services out there, too. When you even start doing the math to what all you're subscribed to, are you, I am at the position that I'm subscribed to so many things that I'm going to look at Ring of Honor and go, is this even worth it? Because you have so many monthly payments going out to so many random things. What is included? I'm sorry, the library is not something that appeals to me.
Right. And he kept saying the library, the archive is already there. Go look at the archive, I think that the majority of people who wanted to go back and watch something from 20 years ago that Ring of Honor had have seen it so many times now, or they probably even still own the DVDs, right? Damn. I don't think that that's going to be there. And WWE learned that relying on legacy stuff is only going to get you so many subscribers. It's always going to be about that new content, but they just don't have the TV to support promoting that new content. So we'll see.
Yeah. Then there's Peacock. You know, if I want to watch the Jurassic Park movies and some wrestling,
you got it.
You know,
it's all right there for you.
And you know what,
and
I like
that Peacock comes for free to Xfinity users, if I'm not mistaken. Like, yes. There's a lot of users that are just sitting there getting it for free. And the $4.99 starting point is nice too.
Yes. Lots of people watching the free cock.
There you go. AEW TV Plus, if you can pull this one up, night one. Here's how you get somebody to pay $9.99. AEW TV Plus Honor Club with New Japan World. That whole package worth $9.99.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that.
I like that. So I have the Peacock Premium, and I like that now when they're doing the random wrestler promo spots, I like that they finally changed it, that it's NXT wrestlers, and now I'm not like watching a little 90-second package about The Miz during an NXT right. pay-per-view. I appreciated that tonight. That was nice. So let's talk a little bit about Ring of Honor tonight.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to start with the pre-show? I mean, you talk about cramming a whole lot of stuff in. You've got four matches in an hour. Can you believe it? Jeff Cobb showed up.
Mascara Dorada, who I'm not familiar with, but that is one of the most badass names in all professional wrestling.
Both of those are New Japan Strong guys. Cobb wins that one with Aloha Means Goodbye. Then you had Angelo Parker and Matt Menard going up against Shinobi Shadow Squad, Cheeseburger.
I was
and Eli
so sick of them by the end of the night that we saw way too much of these two guys.
Yeah, they kind of were all over the place. I'll tell you who was still over though is Cheeseburger. I mean, that was I was really surprised at how big of a pop he got. As popular as ever. I mean, truly, that was a legacy Ring of Honor crowd that was there tonight. Willow Nightingale over Trish Adora. And then Top Flight looked really good against the Kingdom. The Kingdom come in. I really hope that the Kingdom finds some footing here, whether it be in AEW or in Ring of Honor. It's just such a talented group, man. I'm a big fan of Matt Taven. Would love to see them get some play here. And I think that with the exception of that tag title match, it looked like every single person who won was an AEW person over the Ring of Honor legacy people. And it kind of reminded me of all the time Vince would bring in the WCW guys or ECW guys. It was usually the WWE guys that would win, right? Same kind of thing happened tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Main show, I'll just run through this. AR Fox and Blake Christian defeated Roosh and Drelastico. Pretty cool. I mean, that was a fun little match. AR Fox is over. Holy, but Jesus, is he over. And Drelastico, that is Roosh's brother. So there's a fun thing. I think that the finish on this one was botched. He said, did you
get
that?
I was going to tell you that.
Yeah, man.
So this match was fun, but that finish was weird. The shoulders were up. The shoulders were kind of up. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the shoulders. So the count was weird. It was the count from the referee. Like, I couldn't tell if it was a two or a three count. And I don't even think the performers could either. There was a little bit of confusion there for a second. But it was good to see. I thought AR Fox looked really, really good tonight in this match. It was a fun opener. I just wasn't invested. There's not much of a story here that we have seen on TV in order to build for this match to be the opener to get you hyped up.
Just two teams thrown in there together. That's pretty much all that it was. And Blake Christian at one point in that match was really late making the save, and the ref actually had to hold up on that three count. It was like one, two.
It was like a slow motion thing. Like,
and then he came in to make the save.
And you're panicking, like, dude, get in there or like find something to do, because it was so obvious. It took that long that you could tell it was obvious.
Like, it was a legit eternity, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even like joking when I said one, two, and then like crickets. Like, you really could. You age a year while you're waiting for that save to come in.
Yeah. It felt like an eternity.
Athena gets the Ring of Honor Women's Championship over Mercedes Martinez. Athena, the heel, but not tonight. Hometown crowd. She got a huge pop. They even showed her parents in the crowd, which I thought was kind of cool. Just what a moment for her. She couldn't stay heel character tonight, man. She just couldn't do it.
The chat was bringing up Booker T tearing up for Roxanne. And I was like, Booker T had a great night, because Athena is also a student of his school. She goes on to win the world championship, you know, earlier on the night, and then you see Roxanne be successful at Deadline. Of course he had to be emotional. He had to feel like a proud papa at that moment, right? So reality of wrestling school, having a great night. I was looking forward to this match. I have been enjoying what Athena has been doing with this new gimmick, like just being stiff. You know, the video package kind of showed that she's just completely different from what we saw, as she said, at the other company. There was a couple of spots here that they didn't mesh as well as I thought they would. And a lot of the matches tonight, not just this one, a lot of the matches tonight felt like they went on for a little too long. I could have dealt with this match just being a little bit shorter. But overall, it was fun. I feel bad for Mercedes Martinez, because she was injured a lot of her Ring of Honor World Champion run. So we really didn't get to see a lot of what she could do. But I'm very, very happy for Athena. Hometown crowd, like you said, it was a great moment for her.
That's pretty cool. And the crowd stole the match there for a couple of minutes after Athena tossed the turnbuckle into the crowd. And clearly they had to go retrieve it. And the crowd is just like eating this up, just chanting, give it back, give it back, and booing. Because so I don't know if they were booing the security guard who went to get the turnbuckle, or they were booing the person who did not want to give the turnbuckle back. I don't know. But I did think that was pretty funny there for a minute. The crowd was, it was a fun crowd tonight. It really was.
It was a fun crowd. I just wish they would have done a little bit something to move people into the hard camera, because there was a lot of empty seats in the hard camera side. And I don't understand why you couldn't just move a couple of people, upgrade some tickets so that at least the camera side would have looked packed. And the seats were bright blue too, so it was obvious the empty seats. So I wish they would have just made it aesthetically pleasing and made that backdrop look, you know, full. But for the people that were there, they were fun. They were into it. And that's what you want to see.
Yeah, I wonder how big the crowd actually was. I mean,
about 2,500.
Okay, because Tony Khan said that it was the biggest gate in Final Battle history, which I'm not really familiar with what the previous gates were, but I'm not sure that there's necessarily the highest bar there. Next match, Shane Taylor Promotions with Shane Taylor and JD Griffey against Keith Lee and Shane Strickland. And you knew this was going to happen with S hitting the fan with Keith Lee and Shane Strickland. The crowd were really, really pumped to see Shane Taylor and Keith Lee back in the ring together after so many years. And that was, the match was about what you would expect, right? I mean, we're just going to beat the crap out of each other. Shit's going to hit the fan between Keith Lee, Shane Strickland. And that was really the focus of it, right? I don't know that we need to spend a whole lot of time on this.
Lee, once again, it feels like they're broken up and back together twice a week. And this time it was clearly an accident why Keith Lee hit him, but I like this version of Keith Lee. I don't think we've seen this Keith Lee in a while. I thought that he was like leaving his all there. Maybe he was working with Shane Taylor that had him more inspired, but it did feel like Keith Lee was just leaving it all out there tonight. It was fun. It was, some of the things he was doing were very impressive. I thought it was a fun match for what it was. And I appreciated the video package before because I was critical on the Wednesday night podcast about how they just bring out Shane Taylor. And while they have history, some of the viewers, some of us don't know their history. Mm-hmm. So just show up and go, okay, we're going to have a match and you have no idea who they are. So the video package did a great job at covering the history between Keith Lee and Shane Taylor.
Glenn, you a Shane Taylor guy?
Not really.
Asked and answered.
I'm working on something for the end of this podcast. At the end of this podcast, for our loyal fans, I just had OpenAI, ChatGPT, write a romantic comedy about Bron Breakker and Apollo Crews.
Let's go!
And I'll be reading this, what it is written, at the end of this podcast.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. Next up was the six-man tag championship. You've got the Embassy with Brian Cage and Gates of Agony and Prince Nana defeating Dalton Castle and the boys to get your six-man title. So there you go. Those are your AEW people, AEW-ish people getting the title over your legacy.
Love Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle.
He is so good, man. Like, he embodies that character, right? And he annoys the crap out of me, but I appreciate that so much because it means that he's doing a damn good job at his presence on camera, man. Like, the guy just is amazing. Yeah, fun to talk to, too. Always stayed in character whenever I interviewed him. Have you guys ever done an interview with Dalton? Always in character. No. Kayfabe's the hell out of you.
If not for some injuries, I honestly think he would be the biggest thing in professional wrestling today.
That's a bold statement. I think he'd be further along than he is, for sure. All right, so here you go.
This is coming from the person who also thought they knew they was here for an exhibition match. So
you're never going to let me live this one down.
Girl, you're just tearing him up tonight. Good Lord.
We have a love-hate relationship. He knows I love him.
I'm just going to start doing this relationship or doing this podcast as Uncle Howdy just full time now.
I was happy to see Brian Cage here get the win and get a title because they haven't really done much with him in AEW. So maybe Ring of Honor, he can resuscitate his career and do more. We'll see.
Next up, backstage promo, Top Flight was interrupted by, here you go, once again, the Jericho Appreciation Society. They wind up brawling out into the arena and, a couple fun spots. Dante Martin doing a crazy dive off of the stage. That was neat. But then JAS, they get on the mic, start running down Ring of Honor history. And Daddy Magic says that Claudio is going to lose tonight and pulls out a purple hat and is like, "Yep, you're going to be wearing this. You're going to be teaming with Jake Hager. And then you're going to be known as the Hat Trick." All of that just to set up that like 5-second promo was excessive.
That sounds like it was written by AI.
It was friggin'. Yeah. I was like, really, really that to get to that? Like, come on. Unnecessary. Here was a fun match. You talk about good storytelling. The Ring of Honor Pure Championship, Wheeler Yuta getting the win over Daniel Garcia. Just good classic kind of storytelling. Yuta using up all of his three rope breaks very early in the match. Had to overcome that. Gets the win at about the 15-minute mark. Just elbowed the bejesus out of Daniel Garcia, rendered him unconscious to get the victory. So that was kind of a fun little finish. I didn't see that kind of finish coming. Issa, were you a fan of this one?
I didn't watch a second of this match.
No, you didn't?
We have a ritual in my streams in which we just like to roast Wheeler Yuta anytime he's in the ring. So we just spend the whole match roasting Wheeler Yuta. So I didn't watch it.
Duly noted. All right. And then the match of the friggin' year, straight up. Like, I don't know what match tops it this year. The dog collar match between the Briscoes and FTR was amazing. I mean, just match a war of the from night. Hell.
Definitely stole it. The but between both shows, this was it.
I mean, match of the night, match of the week, match of the month. I'm still going match of the year. I mean, the Briscoes look like they straight up showered in hell. They were so covered in blood. It was brutal.
The referee was bleeding. The Briscoes
even
were
bleeding. Even the damn ref kid,
Guts was bleeding, and Cash Wheeler was just there because he looked the same at the end.
Pretty much. But I mean, Dax even did this like diving headbutt off of the ropes where he wrapped the chain around his head, didn't want to stick initially, but then he finally got it. And then he just like dove, like holding the chain up to his head.
There was a lot going on, and I wish at that moment the camera guy would have gone to the two fighting on the outside just for a second, because you could tell he was struggling with it, and they just stayed on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to nitpick, because the match was so good that I'm not going to sit here and pick on the one spot that I was like, you know, we could have like just made that a little bit better production wise. But yeah, I thought they were trying to get very creative, but absolutely loved this match. It was storytelling at its finest. I was so emotionally invested. I was screaming. I was on the edge of my seat. I think I got up. I said I had goosebumps, and it's been a long time since a wrestling match gave me goosebumps at the end. This was so good, and I'm so happy for the Briscoes. Little concern for FTR, two L's in like a matter of days. They lost Wednesday night to the Acclaim at Dynamite for the AEW Tag Team Championships. We see them drop one of their, I don't know, I think they have 15 belts that they carry around. So they lost one of them tonight. So, you know, it makes you wonder what's going on here with FTR.
Well, they keep talking about leaving, taking a year off to go wrestle the indies and do whatever they want off of TV for a little while. So, I mean, maybe this is all part of that. Who knows?
Regardless, these two teams are soulmates. Like, oh, in my the God, ring. It's so good. Every single match they put on, the other two Ring of Honor pay-per-views, they were the MVPs, and they come in and did it again. I was so hyped when they announced this match Wednesday night, because I asked Tony Khan in the media call, why is FTR not in the card? They're Ring of Honor champions. You're barely putting them on AEW television. So I was excited when they announced it, and it surpassed my expectations. Like, beyond, this was fun. This was definitely everything. Kill momentum for the two following matches.
Oh my god, didn't it? Here's
a main event.
Here's my one critique about this match, and it was actually after the match where the Ass Boys came out after the Briscoes left and beat down FTR, and then the Ass Boys had already basically left before the Briscoes came out to try to make the save and just basically stand with them in solidarity. But I was like, how the frig are you going to involve the Ass Boys after that match? Like, that is just dumb. Save that crap for Wednesday. Like, let this match stand on its own. You didn't need to further another angle in this case. Like, I thought that if anything going to take away from the match, that was it. That was absolutely
Again, we were talking about it. It feels like you're setting up stories for AEW, and if you're trying to establish Ring of Honor as its own thing, then you should have probably had FTR leave and let the Briscoes have their moment. They're not even allowed AEW television, so let them have their moment on the one TV they're allowed to be on. So yeah, I could have done without that as well. But like, again, 13-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champs for the Briscoes. They're so real. I just love them. I love them. So I'm very happy for them. I was rooting for them, but my God, I was thinking, what are they gonna do that they haven't done? And they did it. They did it. There was some crazy spots in here. I think my nitpick is what I told you. I felt like I didn't really see a lot of Cash Wheeler in this match. Like, when you're thinking of all the crazy spots, I can't think of a lot that he did here.
Here's my question, Glenn. If Ring of Honor TV winds up anywhere other than on Honor Club, do you think the Briscoes win this match?
It's tough, right? Because, I mean, how much of a factor do you think that wasn't derailing some of the talks with Warner and their reluctance to have the Briscoes on AEW television?
I mean, Tony Khan has openly said that they're not Warner Brothers, don't want them there, and that they're signed long-term to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So, because I heard him say a couple of times from some of the media calls, like, I fought to have him here, you know? So, I mean, you will, if I'm a promoter, I will want this match on my big shows, on my AEW shows. Mm-hmm. But if you can't put him there, you know, I mean, at least we're getting to see them. But I would assume that he probably fought hard to try to get them in AEW television somehow.
Well, that's going to be a battle he's going to have to revisit if ever they do get traditional TV. And I'm sure that that's the ultimate goal for him, because I don't see Ring of Honor being profitable without that. It's going to take him a long time to make his money back if they're just relying off of monthly subscriptions. Next up, Ring of Honor TV Championship. Samoa Joe retains, defeats Juice Robinson. Just, you know, what you would think. Kind of a slugger type of a match. Two big guys going out there. Joe gets the muscle buster to get the win. I don't know what else to say. It was like they were just kind of the sacrificial lambs to come after that match. I mean,
yeah, but Samoa Joe has looked great, not just here, but also in AEW television. I really have been enjoying what he's doing right now. We'll see where it goes. I was shocked by the result because I was thinking they're going to probably try to split some of the people that he's not going to want to take off of AEW television, right? If Ring of Honor is going to be his own thing. So I was thinking, and you saw it happen, he's not going to take Jericho off AEW television. So I kind of figured Jericho was dropping. I figured FDR was dropping. Here, I didn't know which direction they were going to go because Samoa Joe has the TNT championship. So I don't know if Samoa Joe is going to go between the two. You know, we'll see what happens because they haven't made it, like you said, like a brand split officially. They just said they're going to limit what we'll see in AEW TV. So this one, I was curious to see how it would go. But Samoa Joe retains. He's looked great.
Yep. And then, you know, here's something interesting now, too. I mean, Claudio gets the title, defeats Chris Jericho, and the crowd was into this match. It was a lot of fun. But I'll tell you this. So Claudio gets the belt, and you've got Wheeler Yuta with the belt, and that's the Blackpool Combat Club. And if they're going to limit Ring of Honor's presence on AEW TV, what does that mean for Blackpool Combat Club? To me, it means that, you know, Bryan Danielson now is basically going to be flying solo. Regal's out. So what are you going to do with these two guys? I know that in the post-show scrum, I believe it was Claudio or Wheeler, one of the two said that, you know, that they felt like tonight cemented Blackpool Combat Club, but maybe they're cementing that legacy in Ring of Honor and not so much in AEW anymore. What do you guys think?
So the Blackpool Combat Club was done when Regal left.
Yeah.
You know, you got Moxley kind of doing his own thing right now. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Moxley turn. I like Moxley walking the line. He plays whatever role he needs to play based on his opponent. But we haven't really seen him have a heel run in AEW. So I think it will be fun. And Brian looks like Brian's going to move on to MJF. I know MJF has Ricky Starks coming up, but MJF keeps calling out Brian because of all the Regal story. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of like go their own way to where Claudio and Wheeler Yuta are still kind of sticking together. But yeah, I the finish tapping out to the swing, I thought was really, really clever. I was like, can you tap out to the swing?
Never
also
seen that.
Before yeah. He got in, because it was like 33 times that he was spinning it. He wasn't stopping. But before that, I thought that Jericho had a really good reversal to the swing. And I really like seeing that because Claudio's been swinging people forever. You would think that some of his opponent has to think it's coming. How do I get out of it? And Jericho did that. So, but yeah, the tap out to the swing, I thought was a very, very clever, different way that I didn't realize you can tap to the swing.
I love the fact that you brought up Jericho's reversal the first time he went in the swing. I hadn't seen that before either. He goes with basically a leg pick and then rolls that into the walls. And I was like, holy shnikes, that was amazing.
I love that because it goes to show you why Jericho is so good at what he does. It's like, this man's been swinging for how many years now? Like somebody has to come prepare for it. And Jericho did. And the Ocho did some great stuff for the Ring of Honor Championship, but I kind of did expect it to end. Not just because of the possible TV announcement, but because JAS and Blackpool Combat Club have been feuding since the summer, and we had to put an end to this. I feel like if Claudio lost and he would have gone to JAS, then it was going to continue because they were going to try to get him back. You know what I mean? So I'm done with that feud, like 1,000% done. It was a fun match. It was just you were so emotionally drained from the tag team match that I do think it might have hurt. You know, the reaction, but the crowd loved it. The live crowd loved it. Viewing it from home, I felt a little tired after the tag team match.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and that's why, like, you can make a strong argument to put that tag match on last. I'm not sure, you know, I understand the psychology, the reasoning why things were stacked the way that they were, but man, that was such a good match. Real quick before we kind of wrap up our Ring of Honor talk here and we get to whatever romantic soliloquy you have there, Glenn. Housekeeping. Tony Khan also said he was asked about Colt Cabana and why wasn't Colt on the card. Tony said that Colt is actually hurt, but he was there. He was helping to coach backstage tonight. So don't read anything into Colt not being on the card. Mm. He's just banged up. Another interesting thing that I thought was that he was also asked about, had he spoken with Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, about wrestling. And he said that he had. He did so earlier this year, as a matter of fact. And of course, you know, Jerry World has hosted WrestleMania before. He said he's open to it. I don't see AEW, Ring of Honor, anything like that being anywhere close to being able to fill an NFL stadium anytime soon. But he definitely said he would be open to trying to work on something together with Jerry Jones. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. How long do you think it takes before AEW is in a position to be able to fill up a stadium like that? Does it ever even happen? Y'all two have an inside joke happening right now. I have no idea what's happening. Issa's muting her mic. Glenn's clearly reading a text message or something from somebody else.
No, I'm working on my closer. I'm working on the closer for tonight.
All right. How much more time do you need?
It's going to be a little while.
No, I'm good. I got options.
Okay. Okay. I mean, you built this thing up now, dude.
It's good. I got like four different options here, and I'm just picking which one to read. They're all phenomenal.
Is this like you've got a choose your own adventure thing happening right now? You remember those books?
Well, but you know, but the key is when you make a choice, you keep your thumb on the page you were on before. So if you don't like your choice, you can go back and choose another choice.
Do kids even know choose your own adventure these days? Is that still a bit?
It was weird too that I remember as a kid there were choose your own adventure books where you could choose choices and it was like you're dead, end of story. It was just like the laziest resolution.
You know? I mean, well, I kind of appreciated that because it was like you can't watch TV until after you read a book. So whenever I hit something like that, and it was like all I had to do was read five pages and I'm dead. Hot damn, give me the cartoons.
True.
Yeah, man.
No, it's good. Good. So what was the question?
I don't know. Oh, how long until AEW is at a point where they could actually run a show and fill up an NFL size stadium?
I worry about the momentum. Now, granted, I'm going to say that part of it was the pandemic. I think that if they'd had a perfect scenario, starting with AEW TV and just being able to develop without being impeded by having to run a dailies place so long, I do think they would have had a hotter streak. I think the problem is now they've just done too many of the same markets again and again. So in the markets they're hot in, they're not running at full potential. And then because of that, it cooled them off. So now when they go to these new markets, it's just tough. It's really unfortunate.
It's been weird watching their momentum. Cause I remember after the pandemic going to All Out, going to Full Gear, you know, last year, and they were sold out. And this year neither one of these events was sold out. So, but I mean, they did switch location with Full Gear. They brought it to New York, but you know, All Out being in the same place, I do think it's going to run its course. Eventually going to have to get out of there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know that you can do that yet. You know, I couldn't guess. The momentum here switches. I walked out of that All Out last year thinking, oh my God, I love AEW. You know, you have Bryan debuted, Adam Cole debuted. If you would have asked me that question then, I would have told you soon. Now, I don't know.
It's hard to keep up that kind of momentum, man. That was a fun time for AEW. Yeah. Are you guys, one more thing. I see somebody in the chat right now. Night One said that Joe was really good during the scrum. Joe was in character for his portion of the media. I did think that it was kind of interesting that he name dropped Cody. He said, Cody could come back and I'll kick his ass too. He's basically saying, I don't care who you put in front of me. I'll win.
I mean, did he have any words for any of Nick Hausman's former improv partners?
Not that I'm aware of.
AEW has to get some kind of WWE jab in there every time that they do something, so that's probably what that was.
I also mentioned AJ Styles, so yeah, I don't know, like,
and maybe Samoa Joe misses Wendy.
Wendy, yeah, man, that was a good bit. So yeah, man. I mean, that was it. I mean, a lot of wrestling on the day. Issa has watched it. I mean, what time did you start? Did you watch the pre-show? No, you said you didn't, right? Okay. No,
yeah, I started on 3:45 and here we still are. Well, I took a break between shows. I took like a 40-minute break between Ring of Honor. But so I didn't watch the press scrum or the pre-show for NXT. So.
But still, I mean, that's a WrestleMania day type commitment. Well, old WrestleMania day type commitment. That's a long-ass day, girl. That is a long-ass day.
I know.
Glenn, she had a long ass day.
Well, Issa works harder than perhaps anyone else in the world of professional wrestling media.
Thank you, Glenn.
She does. She does a great job.
The queen of all wrestling media.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you chosen your own adventure yet, Glenn?
Oh, my God. So OpenAI is so good. Last night, I told OpenAI to write Fast and Furious the Musical and give me an outline with songs. And it gave me a story that was like, okay, this is like Fast and Furious. And they're like, songs could include like Ride or Die, the exhilarating opening number. Or then my favorite, Friendship on Four Wheels, a duet where Brian and Dom talk about what their relationship to one another means. Like OpenAI is insane. Where you just give it a little bit of a prompt, and if the better a prompt you write, like the better a story it's going to tell for you. So I put in a couple different options. It gave me some with dialogue, but that's too long. I'm not going to read like the entire script of this. So I'm going to go with the outline of the romantic comedy that I asked it to write between Braun Breaker and Apollo Crews.
Okay.
Braun Breaker was feeling down in the dumps. He'd just been dumped by his longtime girlfriend and was determined to win her back. But he didn't know how to do it on his own. That's where his best friend, Apollo Crews, stepped in to help. Come on, Braun, let's go on a road trip, Apollo suggested. We'll drive cross-country from Orlando to Los Angeles and show your ex that you're willing to do anything for her. It'll be a romantic adventure. Braun hesitated at first, but eventually agreed. He packed his bags and hopped in Apollo's car, and the two of them set off on their journey. As they were driving, they noticed they were being followed by a black sedan. It was Tony D'Angelo, a notorious mafia boss and his goons.
Let's go!
Tony had taken a liking to Braun's ex-girlfriend and was not happy that Braun was trying to win her back. The chase was on. Braun and Apollo had to outsmart Tony and his friends at every turn. They had a series of misadventures along the way, including getting lost in the desert. Braun and Apollo were driving through the Mojave Desert when they took a wrong turn and ended up lost. They ran out of gas and were stranded with no cell service. They were forced to ration their food and water and wait for rescue. Then they were kidnapped by a cult. While driving through the mountains, Braun and Apollo were kidnapped by a group of cultists who believed that Braun was the reincarnation of their long-lost leader. They were held captive and subjected to strange rituals before they were able to escape. And then they were pursued by a pack of wild animals. As they were driving through the forests of the Pacific Northwest, Braun and Apollo were chased by a pack of wild animals, including bears, wolves, and cougars. They had to use all of their cunning and strength to outrun the animals and make it to safety. But no matter what obstacles they faced, Braun and Apollo never lost sight of their goal. They were determined to reach Los Angeles and win back Braun's ex-girlfriend. So in the end, they arrived in Los Angeles and confronted Tony and his goons. And with the help of some unlikely allies, they were able to defeat the mafia and win the girl. However, just as they thought they'd succeeded, they received some shocking news. Braun's ex-girlfriend had been using him the whole time, and she was actually in league with Tony D'Angelo. She planned to use Braun to help Tony take over the city. Braun and Apollo were devastated, but they refused to give up. They teamed up with the local police and took down Tony's operation once and for all. In the end, they emerged victorious and were hailed as heroes. Braun and Apollo's bromance had survived even the toughest of challenges, and they returned to Orlando as stronger friends than ever. They had proven that true friendship can conquer even the most treacherous of ex-girlfriends. The end.
You lost me at the snitching.
That is random AF, dude. That is random AF AI. Damn. Yeah.
Tony D'Angelo is my favorite part of that story.
Yes. Coming soon to the WWE Network.
It sounds like fun, actually.
Would you pay $9.99 a month for stories like that?
I watched the hell out of that movie.
Yeah.
I want to see the cult. Joe Gacy could be the cult leader.
Ooh.
Yeah. Good.
Ooh. Joe Gacy as David Koresh. Yes.
Yeah. That's the problem with Joe Gacy. Is Joe Gacy started out... Okay, first he started out just like... clearly offended some people with what he was doing, and then he ramped it up when he did like the Grassy Knoll promo in Dallas, and then they got weird with it, and then they were like, nope, now we're just gonna make this another generic thing. Like, he needs to go back to triggering people.
We got a super chat and I could not agree with it anymore.
Dream Realm Studios, you have issues, Uncle Rubenstein. It's the AI. I just, here's what I said to the AI. I said, Write a romantic comedy about Braun Breaker and Apollo Crews, who grow on a cross-country adventure to help Braun win back his ex-girlfriend, chased by Tony D'Angelo and his mafia friends, with misadventures on their journey from Orlando to Los Angeles. That's all I asked it to do.
And it did all that with that?
It did all that with that.
Damn, dude.
Register an account. OpenAI.com. It's crazy. It's crazy what you can do with this software.
Nutty. That's nutty, dude.
And you could even say things like I went, the first one I got, I was like, okay, redo that, but go into more detail about the misadventures. And then it gave me the same thing with just more, like you give it notes and feedback. Huh. It's crazy. And then it gave it that. And I said, okay, do the same thing, but make it a more interesting ending. And then it gave me like his girlfriend was in on it with Tony D'Angelo.
Taylor Matthews says it's the New York Times bestseller.
Yes. This is how Skynet takes over with OpenAI.
Dude. That's some creepy shit, dude. That is creepy.
Absolutely crazy. But have we covered everything tonight?
I think so. I mean, two shows, a media scrum, some news nuggets. Yeah. We got a bromance script. I'd say that's a pretty robust show we just did.
I think this is the natural evolution of Braun and Apollo's relationship.
I'm just wondering if you could book an entire promotion with your OpenAI, right?
Working on it.
Okay.
I tried it earlier where I was like, give me like 20 feuds for Tony D'Angelo with storylines. The problem is it can't differentiate between the current roster and past wrestlers.
Right.
Like, but
that
maybe
makes it even more fun.
Yeah. But maybe if I go into more, I can give it more guidelines, I think. And I think Billy Corgan should be using this to write. Actually, Tony Khan needs this for AEW. He's like, no writers. Okay, Tony, how about some AI? Because you could use some help, buddy.
Damn.
Yeah, Dylan Matthews. OpenAI can book the AEW women's division better than Tony Khan.
That's some shade right there.
Yeah.
My dog could write a pen. Anyway.
Bringing the heat. All right,
there
kids.
You go, folks.
Well, this has been fun.
Chuck, where can they follow you on the interwebs?
At Chuck Carroll, WLC. So just throw WLC after my name, and that'll get you on the gram, on Twitters, on Facebooks, all the places.
Awesome. Issa's at NYC Demon Diva. That's Steve with a one. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Follow my account for more AI goodness. Working on some things.
AI Glenn. How do we know that this is the real Glenn if you're doing so much with AI?
When I can get AI to do this podcast, I'll just be like, here's 50 different references to things that happened in the 80s and 90s. Just work it into a wrestling talk. It'll all be good. Have a good rest of your weekend, everyone. Issa and I will be back on Tuesday, Monday Night Raw coverage, of course, as usual. Until then, we'll catch you next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Take it easy.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.